Have you ever planned a cross-country all the way to the destination airport, felt good about it, and then realized you never actually planned the arrival? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. And this week, with AirVenture Oshkosh going on right now up at Whitman Regional, I want to talk about the piece of cross-country planning that trips up more good pilots than headwinds ever will, the last 50 miles. Because here's the thing. Most of us plan the fun part. We plan the route. We pick the checkpoints, we solve for wind, we figure the fuel, and then we treat the arrival like it's just going to happen. At a quiet field on a Tuesday afternoon, maybe it does, but into the busiest airport in the world during show week, the arrival is the flight. Everything before it is just getting to the starting line. Let's walk through this together. Before I go further, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, and honestly, flying yourself into Oshkosh for the first time is exactly the kind of milestone worth a coin. AviationSoul.com. Go take a look. Now, the AirVenture arrival every year, the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, publishes a special document just for getting into Oshkosh during the show. It's called the NOTAM, and this year it runs something like 32 pages. 32 pages for one arrival. That should tell you something about how seriously you need to take this. And here's my first practical takeaway. You do not read that NOTAM for the first time in the cockpit. You do not read it the night before. You read it days ahead, you read it again, and you print the parts you'll actually use so they're sitting on your kneeboard, not buried in an app you're fumbling for at 130 knots. Let me paint the picture of how the classic arrival actually works, because once you see the shape of it, the planning makes sense. It starts at a little town called Ripon. Ripon is your initial fix. You're not talking to anybody yet. You come in from the southwest, and the FAA wants you at 90 knots and 1,800 feet above sea level. If your airplane won't do 90 comfortably, there's a higher, faster track for you. And if it won't get that low and slow safely, they've thought of that too. But for most of us in a Cessna or a Piper, it's 90 knots, 1,800 feet. From Ripon, you follow the railroad tracks, northeast actual railroad tracks. On the ground, you look out the window and you follow the steel. Pilots call it the railroad, and it takes you to the next point, a town called Fisk. Now here's the part that makes Oshkosh. Oshkosh. At Fisk, there's a controller sitting in a lawn chair with a radio, and that controller is looking at you, not on a scope, with their eyes, and they'll key up and say something like, "Blue High Wing over Fisk. Rock your wings." And when you rock your wings, you're saying, "That's me, I hear you, I understand." You don't answer on the radio, you wave the airplane. Then they tell you which runway and which way to turn. That's the whole conversation. They talk, you rock, you comply. Think about what that means for your planning. You're going to fly into the busiest airspace on the planet, and you're going to do it mostly by not talking, which means before you ever leave home, you need to have practiced flying precise headings and precise airspeeds while your eyes are outside the airplane, not buried in the panel. The airplane needs to be trimmed and stable at 90 knots and 1,800 feet without you thinking about it, because all of your attention is going to be spent looking for traffic and looking for that controller's instruction. And the traffic is the real story here. The FAA's whole system at Oshkosh is built on one number, half a mile in trail. They want half a mile between airplanes. That's it. That's the spacing that lets them land airplanes on the same runway, sometimes on different colored dots on the same runway at the same time. Half a mile at 90 knots gives the controllers just enough room to work. Your job, your actual job on this arrival, is to hold that spacing. See the airplane ahead of you. Don't run up on him. Don't fall so far back you leave a hole. Maintain the picture. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Nobody teaches you spacing. We teach you to fly the airplane. We teach you to talk on the radio. But flying a precise half mile behind another airplane at a fixed speed is a skill, and it's a perishable one. So if Oshkosh is on your bucket list, that's a thing you can practice at your home field right now. Get behind another airplane in the pattern, legally and safely, and just work on holding a set distance. It's harder than it sounds. Let's talk about what happens when it doesn't go to plan, because this is where the real airmanship lives. Say you get to Ripon and it's a conga line. Airplanes stacked up as far as you can see. The NOTAM has an answer. There's a holding pattern over a lake nearby Green Lake, and you fly left turns and you wait your turn. And here's the discipline piece. If it's too much, if the traffic is overwhelming, if the weather is going down, if you're task saturated, and your hands are sweating and you've lost the picture, you leave. You break off, you fly away from the arrival, you go to an alternate, and you come back when your head is right. There's no prize for forcing it. The people who get hurt at these arrivals are almost never the ones who turned around. They're the ones who pressed on when every instinct was screaming at them to stop. That's the go-around applied to a whole arrival. Same principle. If it's not working, you don't try to salvage it, you reset. Which brings me to the alternate. And this is pure cross-country planning 101. When you flight plan to Oshkosh, you're not really planning to Oshkosh. You're planning to Fond du Lac, or Appleton, or one of the other fields nearby, with Oshkosh as the place you'll try first. Fuel to your alternate plus reserve, always. Because the one thing you cannot do at Oshkosh is orbit forever waiting for a slot. If you show up with just barely enough gas to make the field, you have handed away every option you have, and you've turned a fun arrival into an emergency. Plan the fuel so that turning around is free, so that going to the alternate costs you nothing but time. The airman certification standards talk about this without ever mentioning Oshkosh. Cross-country planning, risk management, aeronautical decision-making, choosing an alternate, recognizing when to divert. The examiner on your check ride is looking for a pilot who plans for the arrival that doesn't work, not just the one that does. Oshkosh is simply that check ride task turned all the way up to 11. So let me leave you with a way to actually plan this. Work the arrival backwards, start at the runway and the colored dots, and ask, how am I going to make a short field, precise spot landing with airplanes ahead and behind me, then back up to Fisk? Am I ready to fly by light gun signal and wing rock? No talking. Back up to the railroad? Can I hold 90 knots and 1,800 feet? Hands off? Eyes outside? Back up to Ripon. What's my hold plan if it's packed? And back up further still to your fuel. Do I have the gas to make turning around a non-event? Answer those before you launch, and the last 50 miles stop being the scary part. They become the best flying you'll do all year. Everything I've described comes straight out of the FAA's AirVenture, NOTAM, and the arrival procedures EAA publishes every summer. Read the real document. Don't fly this off a radio show. Fly it off the source. You'll find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go plan the arrival, not just the route, and I'll see you in the pattern.